Hi, my name is Eric Robinson. I teach media, internet, and social media law at the University of South Carolina, and I'm the one who put together this module on law and ethics in public relations. This is my interview with Perry Pfluger, who's the general counsel of Rudder Finn, which is one of the largest PR firms in the US. It's ranked about 30th. He's been in that position since 2021 and overall has about 6 years experience as a lawyer working for various public relations agencies. Before that, he had more of a general law, worked in general law practice. He attended State University of New York in Plattsburgh, where he got his bachelor's degree, and he went to law school at Widener University School of Law. So Mr. Pfluger is going to talk about his role as a lawyer in public relations and what students and practitioners in PR need to know about the law to avoid getting in trouble.
So, I want to thank you again for agreeing to do this. I think it'll be value. I mean, I think most PR students, because I teach PR students in my classes, and law is the furthest thing from their mind, frankly, until I introduce
Most students, yeah, agreed.
most normal people,
Yeah,
frankly.
and even people at my agencies, yes.
Yeah. Basically, the first thing I want to ask you is how much of a role does law play in PR, in what your firm does, and how involved are you with that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they essentially go hand in hand. For any business operation, legal is going to be involved. So with regards to Rudder Finn and all of the 18 agencies that I oversee globally, it's a daily thing. I'm involved in every step. So there's not a single day that goes by where legal is not involved, whether it be an NDA that needs to be negotiated, a client contract, review of influencer agreements and their materials, campaigns and related assets, sponsored content, media buys, satellite media tours. It's literally, you name it, I've seen. We've seen activations of influencers jumping out of helicopters, renting out boats, experiential events. It's every day.
And how much of that is content, and how much of that is, for lack of a better, well, process when you're talking about jumping out of a helicopter?
The helicopter example I gave you was they went and did that without running it by legal. Little did they know our insurance didn't cover private aviation. So that was the whole scramble. And again, it got flagged to me the day before the activation.
How much of that is that sort of stuff, and contracts and agreements and payments and that kind of thing? And how much of it is reviewing content for legal issues?
Probably it does vary depending on the client and the campaign, but probably just on an average, probably 80-20 of handling of the contracts and 20% review. When things are disseminated to the public, such as a press release, I'm typically not looking at those unless there's very specific claims that are being made or specific intellectual property that's being used to ensure that the rights were obtained, such as name and likeness rights for celebrities, stock images, photography, and music. But most of what I do as general counsel is contracts. It's to be preemptive to ensure that I'm protecting the agency, number one, but number two is also protecting our clients.
Your PR firm is a pretty big firm, and you have other affiliates that you mentioned, 18, I think you said. Are
Correct.
you the legal department? Are there other lawyers there? Are there,
Yeah.
how is
Yeah,
he?
it's I am the sole general counsel for Rudder Finn and all of its 18 global subsidiaries. So one day I could be doing something within the United States. Tomorrow is India. Day after it's China. Day after that's Malaysia, and then UK, so on and so forth.
How much of what you're dealing with is law, when you're especially on an international level, and how much of it is cultural sensitivity, or is that someone else's department?
Right. Well, I mean, anytime you do an international deal, the cultural sensitivity, you have to consider that. Certain things that we can say stateside may not jive well internationally. There's hand gestures, there's a ton of things on body language. So, and also in terms of messaging. The business team is usually the one that's aware of those sensitivities as they're drafting the messaging or developing the campaign. I just make sure that it's captured if we have to engage any vendors of what they can and cannot do or say.
You mentioned some of them, but specifically, why don't we focus on the content side? Because that's obviously what the students are focusing on at this point in their lives, I guess.
Absolutely.
What are the legal issues that you see that are common or that they need to be thinking about as
Right.
they create campaigns, as they think about campaigns, as they work on campaigns?
So there's really two main issues with regards to the campaigns. The first would definitely be intellectual property, copyrights, trademarks, and arguably rights of publicity, people's name and likeness rights. When you're creating a PR campaign, depending on what your organization is, for example, if you work for the New York Times, you kind of have the First Amendment to lean on a little bit for newsworthy things. However, for our clients at Ritter Finn, most of them are selling products or providing services. So we kind of don't hit that commercial exemption of fair use. So we have to ensure that everything, if it's not created originally by us, and even on that, we have to make sure that anything that we create is not infringing of a copyright, a trademark, that permissions are obtained. And the appropriate licenses are obtained. So, if a client wants to do a social media activation, we need to ensure that the licenses for an image is are procured for that. If they want to put something on TV, that's a whole nother ball of wax, right? For what rights need to be obtained. If music comes into play, you have to deal with several copyrights at issue. Copyright trademarks are always imperative. Especially when we are engaging influencers. Influencers are always an interesting aspect because there's kind of materials going back and forth. We're providing materials from our client or from us that we've created, and then the influencer's creating materials on their own. So there's the position is we're responsible for what we give you, but influencer, you're responsible for what you create to us. And that's where it kind of comes into the contracting phase. Well, what are they responsible for? Who's liable for what if something goes south? An example would be is we had an inf we tell influencers you can't wear branded clothing. If I'm an influencer right now, all this artwork behind me could not be in my content. I don't have name and likenesses to Charles Bronson, or any of the artwork behind me. So that would have to be scrubbed. And we have our influencers represent and warrant that they won't infringe third-party rights. And I can tell you right now, defending a copyright lawsuit within the first week you're at 10 grand, if that, if not more. Within that same context, the second issue specifically for PR is the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Everything that is done in PR has to be truthful, and it can't deceive the public. The FTC is taking a very extreme position in enforcing the rules and regulations this year. I mean, they have been for a while, but now it's definitely a heightened level. You have to ensure that if you're on the client side and even on the agency side, the things that you're saying can be backed up. It's called claim substantiation. So I can't just say, my computer, my internet's going to be 100% online all the time. An internet service provider would be, that's not true. From the agency side, if we know or should have known that the claim is not backed up, we would be liable as equally to the client. But the client on the client side, if that's where the PR lands you, the legal team would determine whether or not statements could be made or backed up. And the one thing to take away is have to be truthful. You can't deceive or mislead the general public. The regulatory authorities basically take the approach that the general public is not the brightest. They don't say that specifically, that's reading in between the lines. So everything has to be clear and conspicuous. That's why we see issues with Kim Kardashian, Lindsay Lohan getting fined by the FTC for not disclosing that they were paid to do social media posts. Because the general public would say, well, I don't know that she was paid, even though she's promoting a product. General common sense would say, okay, she's not doing this for free. Celebrities are kind of in that little special bucket, but it's still, you need to disclose if you've been paid or received anything of value to promote, a good or service of a company, which includes providing your name and likeness, your face, or saying, hey, I love this product.
Since this or the audience for this is college students, what would be useful for them to know or have familiarity with before they start your
Yeah.
career.
So if for students going into PR, I would definitely, even at the most rudimentary level, understand intellectual property. If you come in understanding, knowing how intellectual property works, then you can know certain things you can and cannot do. Also with the FTC, I don't expect anybody to be an expert in the FTC. It's extremely complicated. But again, there are things out there that they've made for influencers specifically that break down, this is what needs to happen and this is why it needs to happen. So there, and just again, contracts, I don't expect anyone to understand a contract. That's very lawyer specific. But if they understand that a contract is needed and you shouldn't sign whatever's just put in front of you by a third party, because typically if a third party puts a contract in front of you, it's not going to be favorable to you. There should be negotiation. It's probably going to be pretty one drafted in a very unilateral way. So under just understanding that how contracts work, what's the purpose of them? It's basically you're responsible for this, I'm responsible for this. If something goes wrong, we're looking to the contract.
I mean, one thing I tell my students is that I'm not trying to turn you into lawyers, but I'm trying to make you aware so you don't cost your employer money, time, and trouble.
Right. If something goes south, not only is the company on the hook, but your employment may be. And I don't want anyone getting fired for something that's stupid that could have been protected had legal been involved. So the mantra that I always tell people is it's when in doubt, reach out. I don't care. You can ask me a business question and I can say, look, that's a business issue, but I can kind of help you here, but you need to reach out to James Smith, John Doe, what have you. But when in doubt, reach out. It's something that we want to handle up front before something is released to the public or presented to a client. That way we don't have, or presented to a board or presented to your boss. That way there's not a mess or egg on our face that we need to clean up down the road.
Is there anything else that you think is important for students to know? Do you or no,
Yeah, I
don't want to?
mean, we're in a world that's changing quicker than, I mean, I'm young. I always say, I think I'm young. We're living in a world that's changing exponentially, like at a very rapid pace. Something that's happening today may not be accurate tomorrow. So make sure that you're aware of what's happening in PR. Make sure that you're following the news. As boring as it may be, it's good to have alerts set up on your computer so you can see, or on your phone, or just have a general understanding of what's happening. You have a wealth of knowledge at your fingertips. You can educate yourself on basically anything here. There's YouTube content galore. And if you come in knowing something more than your peers, and you, of course, reflect it properly and you're not crass about it, it kind of gives you a little edge over people. So the more that you can educate yourself and make yourself in a better, try to find an area where you can be the expert, you're going to be marketable.
Primary focus of this whole program, of which this is a part, is PR ethics. And one of the things that this module covers in another section is law and ethics being related, but some not necessarily the same thing. And
Right.
something might be legal and ethical and not ethical, or vice versa. I mean,
Right.
how much of that kind of stuff do you have to think about and deal with in the stuff in what you're doing?
All the time. It's one of those things where, we're saying ethics, but for in PR, it's optics, right? In one sense, like, can we legally do this? Yes. Optically, how are consumers going to respond? How's the general public going to respond? Ethically, can we do something? Yeah, that's fine. Legally, no, that's a hard no. You can't. Like, I know ethically it makes sense, but they are, even though there is some overlap there, they are distinct. When you're working for the client, you do need to think about both. If something is ethically okay and not legally okay, should you proceed? Probably not. If it's legally okay but not ethically okay, again, you kind of have to do the cost benefit analysis in your head of, well, the blowback here may be bad. And I know the saying is, any news is good news, publicity, what have you. But you just need to think. And just again, you need to ensure that what you're communicating on behalf of your company or client is going to get you the best results.
All right. Well, I really appreciate this.
Thanks for having me. Any of your students have any questions, feel free to message me on LinkedIn. There's only one of me in the world, so it's not hard to
Okay.
find me.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Take care.